This is the Colonial Department's Extra Credit, a bonus show that provides some nugget-sized tidbits of Philippine colonial history. It's based on the episode that aired just last week, so if you haven't yet, check out Season 3, Episode 5, Sultan of Broadway, then hop on back here for some Extra Credit. To the Americans at the turn of the 20th century, the Moro of Mindanao was a very, very fascinating figure. They found him infinitely more interesting than the Christianized Filipinos in the other islands and pasted on them every conceivable trope. Noble savage, depraved barbarian, Mohammedan fanatic, honorable fighter, berserker warrior, fierce pirate, innocent native. The myths persist to this day. I even remember a story told to us in school that the Americans had to invent the 45 caliber round, the calibre 45, just to stop juramentados. To learn more about America's fascination with the Moros, I highly recommend a book called Civilizational Imperatives by Oliver Charbonneau. Chapter 1 of that book is called Imagining the Moro, and it details all the crazy ways Americans thought about Islamic Philippines. Later in the book, the author also discusses the Sultan of Sulu musical, which, as you know, is really what episode 5 of this podcast was all about. Of course, I wasn't able to put every interesting detail that I jotted down on my notes. Here are three interesting little tidbits about Moros in America that I left on the cutting room floor. One, when Sultan Jamalul Kiram visited the USA, the New York Times reported that he and his party were struck speechless by the sight of New York, which is my cue to play this song. Meanwhile, the Washington Post went all out in its condescension. They wrote that when they saw the Sultan, they found no trace of the backward, the bizarre, or the savage in the Sulu royal. Wow, great compliment right there. 2. Moros were part of the World's Fair exhibition in St. Louis in 1904, 2 years after the premiere of the Sultan of Sulu. A sizable group of people from the Sama and Maranao ethnic groups made up the Moro contingent of the Philippine reservation. At St. Louis, they were expected to perform dances, race canoes, and fish for pretend pearls and thrown coins in the lake. They also made handicrafts to be sold to curious visitors, who would even watch them while they ate. In total, the Moro village brought in more than $40,000 in sales and admissions. By comparison, the Igorot village earned $137,000. 3. The niece of Jamalul Kiram briefly became the poster child for America's so-called civilizing influence on the Moros. Princess Tarjata Kiram arrived in America in 1919 with the daughter of Emilio Aguinaldo and enrolled in the University of Illinois. She soon got a jazz-age-appropriate flapper haircut and busied herself with parties and socials. In front of her American friends, she jokingly called herself Hattie the Headhunter. But upon her return to the Philippines, she became the fourth wife of a datu who later rebelled against the colonial government. In 1927, Princess Tarjata was arrested and charged with sedition. In an editorial in the Los Angeles Times, she brilliantly argued why she had re-embraced her culture and defied the Americans. And now I leave you with a piece of the script from the musical The Sultan of Sulu. Here, Kiram is trying to calculate how much alimony the US government is asking him to pay to his ex-wives. Let me read it out for you.
Say my income is 10,000 pesos a month. Each wife is entitled to one half that, or 5,000 pesos. 8 wives, 40,000 pesos. In order to keep out of jail, I must raise 40,000 pesos. But look here. The moment I increase my income to 40,000 pesos, each wife is entitled to 20,000. 8 wives, 160,000 pesos. If by any miracle of finance I could get hold of that much money, then each of the 8 would be entitled to 80,000. 8 times 8 is 88. 8 times 88 is 888,000, and oh, what's the use? I'm broke! And the more money I get, the worse I'm broke.
And that's it. Thanks for listening to this bonus episode, and check back next week for a new episode of The Colonial Department.